good friend of mine.
Okay. Yeah, good guy.
Yeah.
Small world. How do you guys know each other?
He actually was like college friends with my brother-in-law and my wife. And
kick us off. Good morning. This is Rachel Quint. I'm the Qualifications Committee Chair. I'd like to call to order the Oregon Board of Accountancy Qualifications Committee meeting at 10:02 a.m. on Wednesday, April 18th. As usual, this meeting is being recorded. This is one of our two in-person meetings during the year, and it's always great to see the handful of people that can make it here live and in person when possible. So I'd like to just start off with those of us in the room, just do a quick round-robin roll call, and then we'll see who is on the phone. So again, this is Rachel Quinn.
And Rebecca Griffith.
Ryan Kramer.
Julie Nadeau, staff.
Okay. And
Ling Kai, Department of Revenue.
Ling Kai, Department of Revenue. Okay, and
this is Shui Lu from Department of Revenue.
Okay, and Shui Lu from the Department of Revenue, if you couldn't hear that on the phone. All right, now let's go through the folks on the phone. I'll do a roll call of committee members that I have notes that show that they'll be in attendance today. Jenny Gruppe?
I'm here.
Thank you. And Casey Cammers?
Yes, hello, everybody.
Good morning, Casey. Is Zane Selback able to attend today?
I think he might be able
okay. to join us. Well, we'll see if he announces later. And Yvette Burling?
I'm here. Thank you.
Good morning. Michael Smoot?
I am on the call. Sorry I wasn't able to make it today.
Oh, good morning, Michael. And Michael Schmidt?
Here.
Good morning, Michael. Did I miss any committee members? Okay, all right.
Sorry. This is Ming Brink.
Excellent.
On the board.
Yes, thank you, Ming. Mm-hmm. And now let's go through applicants. Do we have any applicants on the line this morning?
Oh, good question.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch
you. What is this?
Olga?
I heard Olga.
Yes. Yeah. Olga Klechkova.
Okay.
Good morning, Olga.
This is Vikas Arora.
Hi, Vikas.
Vikas.
Yep.
Hi, this is Flora Wilfred.
Flora.
Hi, Flora.
Sarah Demery.
Hi, Sarah. Anyone else? Do we have any supervisors on the line?
Matt Claflin with the Oregon Department of Revenue.
Hi, Matt. Any other supervisors? And any other attendees who are just listening in and getting a sense of the committee activities?
Megan Lule joined us. She's board staff.
Wonderful. Okay, if we've got the roll call behind us, on our agenda today, which was included in the meeting materials, includes the standard board report. This time it's going to be coming from Ming Brink, who is our new board liaison. We have a review of 5 new applicants and 4 deferred applicants, an update on staff and recruitment efforts. And is Kimberly going to be giving that?
She will be joining us, yes.
Wonderful. Does anyone have any proposed additions or revisions to our agenda today?
Just the number 4 on current applications. I'll be doing the review for Vikas.
I did change it after.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I think okay. I gave it to Rachel, but yeah. Sorry.
Wonderful. Okay. Any other additions or revisions? Wonderful. All right. I will now invite Ming to provide a report of board action. And Ming, since you're new to this role for the Qualified Students Committee, would you mind just starting by introducing yourself?
Hi, I'm Ming Brink, and just joined board this year. I'm currently working for Precision Cast Parts as a state tax manager.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you. So the board met on January 22nd, and the board discussed and approved the recommendation from the qualification committee for Carrie Williams and Yu Liu. I think that's it. Any questions?
Any other discussion topics? Anything that would be relevant for the committee to be aware of as it relates to our service?
Not this time.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, well, let's move to current applications. And as a reminder, it does keep things easier from a motion standpoint if we can open it up for discussion before making a motion. So we have a lot of applicants here on the phone this morning, so I'll just kind of start working through that in order. Yvette, would you mind leading us through the discussion of, and I'm going to apologize in advance for all of the names I will butcher today.
Shui Lu.
Thank you.
She's with us.
Wonderful. Yeah. And Shui is here this morning, too.
Good morning. Shui works for the Oregon Department of Revenue and is currently a tax auditor. She has been working there since 2013 and in tax auditing since 2016. She has been under the direct supervision of Ling Kai, who is in the room there with you. They met and had weekly meetings during her preparation and for writing up her competencies. Department of Revenue, get the words right, has an internal CPA program, and the candidates there have to qualify to be in the program. They don't just automatically get in. Then they work with a mentor. They meet regularly. The committee reviews their progress. So as they're working through gaining their experience, they have their experience presented to the committee, and they get feedback from them. And then the committee also reviews the write-up when they send it over to us. I looked through Shui's documentation. She has a great write-up here with lots of good examples of each of the competencies, and so she's, has the competency and shows the several examples of a different kind of audit where those kinds of competencies were met. It's easy to follow. She's worked on individuals and businesses, sole proprietors, limited liability companies, S-corps, domestic corporations, and then a variety of individual taxpayers. I didn't have her make any changes to her application except to include the information about the CPA program because I knew that their company had one. So her revised narratives essentially includes the information about the CPA program that they have. And I'd like to open it up for discussion.
Thank you. Any questions, comments, discussion from the committee members? So the one question that I did have is it relates to competency A, and I was wondering if we could link the examples to specific elements of the Code of Professional Conduct. So, for example, in your first example under the Capital Investment Corporation, could you tie in thinking about some of the specific language of that competency? Of professional skepticism, etc.
For this case, she looked at the ice core patients return, and because of some kind of related transactions, so she wants to see how these related transactions reflect on the personal return. Mm-hmm. That's why she kind of just wants to make sure the transaction reported on both sides, and wants to make sure the return was complete and mm-hmm. accurate. Mm-hmm. And so she asked for to look at the individual's return as well. Mm-hmm. But because individual and also the entity, they are separate entity, that's why she requests two POA power returning from the entity and mm-hmm. also from the shareholder, just want to make sure that there's no, even because that's separate entity, we want to make sure that information, confidential information was not authorized to kind of disclose. Mm.
So would you feel like that demonstrates integrity, objectivity, independence, professional judgment, due professional care, professional skepticism? What of those qualities would you feel like that work represents?
I feel it demonstrates integrity because I want to make sure that the confidentiality well considered. Mm-hmm. And then the second, I feel that they also shows my professional judgment because I made a judgment that I need to review the personal return as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. So that ultimately that was the only judgment I made to led to my action. And also I have also demonstrated my due professional care. Mm-hmm. So during this whole process, I make sure the confidential information was protected through the separate POA for mm-hmm. separate entity. And so I think, And also our department has very strict disclosure rules. Mm-hmm. And also we just follow the rule, we just start our work ethic. Mm-hmm. Just want that, like she said, integrity. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think, and let me just pause. For those on the phone, are you able to hear the discussion in the room?
Not very well.
Yeah, barely.
Would you guys mind coming and joining us at the table? I thought that might
Thank
be
you.
Because I should have asked you to join us up here sooner. All right, so I think we've covered, of the competencies mentioned in, or the elements mentioned in competency A for integrity, objectivity, independence, professional judgment, due professional care, professional skepticism, I think we've covered objectivity, professional judgment, and professional skepticism. Could you maybe speak about which one of these examples or other elements of competency A covers integrity, for example? Because you do have four good examples here. I just didn't see the specific language used to say, and this demonstrated integrity because. So I'm just looking for you to fill in that piece.
So probably we need to take us one or 2 minutes to read those examples.
Certainly.
You said it's when it's kind of due professional care or mm-hmm. professional skepticism, right?
Mm-hmm. I think the first example described my integrity because I follow my department's the policy, mm-hmm. the confidentiality. Disclosure rule, so that showed my integrity in doing all that. And then the last example also showed my integrity. So in the last example, so I was really pushed by the CPA that represents the company. So under that push, and he trying to persuade me to speed up the audit for multiple reasons. But then I preserve my integrity and tell him that, we need to follow the process. And also,
he trying to tell me that, you know, in the particular circumstance, we can bypass the rule. The result would not be any different. So he was trying to persuade me that. But I told him that, no, then, you know, I don't, you know, only work on this audit. I also represent my department. I'm also responsible for all the, you know, Oregon taxpayer here. So if I bypass the procedure here, then that wouldn't be fair. And also my mission, my job is to interpret the law, you know, have to follow what the law tell us. So in that whole process that I kind of resist his persuasion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think of that example.
Also, I think number three, the example mm-hmm. three, also is a very good example about the due professional care and professional skepticism. For this case, when we look at the return and we look at the depreciation schedule, we have question about the basis about the property. But the property was kind of the, so it's a long story, the property was the father got, I mean, mother and father had it first, and also father passed away, give the property to the mother. Mm-hmm. And so that's some, mm-hmm. we have some question about the basis when they sold the property and the year under audit. So how they got the basis? How they come up with the basis, the number, and the rep did not want to give us the answer. The taxpayer, she was not very knowledgeable. She didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. She said, "Oh, just ask our rep." But the rep was not very cooperative. So we said, because the report actually report big, very big gain on the return. Mm-hmm. But we just asked, how they got the rep got this number for the basis. So we look at a few years. Try to find any clue about how they calculate the basis, but still we didn't find anything. So later we said, this is a public record. So maybe, because the rep did not want to give us anything. So probably we can contact their property, assessor, department, get some information. So fortunately, we are very lucky. The lady over there, she was able to go back like 30 years to find some information of the property. Then we said, okay, we look at this one and look at the return. And we said, yeah, based on those information, the basis for the property, the report on the return is kind of close. Mm-hmm. Not actually exactly the amount, but based on our calculation, and we said, yeah, probably about right. Then mm-hmm. we said, okay, we're happy, we're comfortable with the information upon the return. So I think during these cases, we learn a lot, and also we just try our best. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we're not just kind of say, so try to get taxpayer to pay tax. We just want to make sure mm-hmm. we did it right. We follow the rule, we follow the procedure, and we do our best mm-hmm. just to represent the department, because sometimes we got a complaint, they always say, so we try to get them for tax, mm-hmm. but that's not the case here.
Thank you. I think that's a good example of integrity.
I think that example also shows that, you know, because we do have a law that allow us to make adjustment, disallow mm-hmm. taxpayer basis if they don't have any record, they refuse to provide information. Mm-hmm. But I think this example also shows my professional due care, and I go a step further. I'm trying to, you know, think of more from a reasonableness standpoint mm-hmm. To go to, try to, you know, from our side, what we can do mm-hmm. to find reasonable information to, you know, allow the tax benefits that they should have been allowed. So this also shows my due professional care.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any further questions. Anybody on the phone or in the room?
I have a question on competency F. This is related to decision-making, problem-solving, critical analytical thinking. And you give some great examples that are detailed on analyzing accounting data and using problem-solving skills and technical accounting research. Do you have any experience? There's kind of a few components of analyzing trends over time to help you come to your conclusions. I realize as an auditor, you're often looking at 1 year at a time, so it might be a little difficult, but maybe examples of multi-year audits or where you could use, you know, what you've seen over time, even from other taxpayers, to help you do your work?
I think generally in each audit, I will do a trend analysis because for us to evaluate whether the business activity is reasonable overall, and for us to evaluate the tax return overall is reasonable, we have to look in a bigger picture. So I generally look back a few years and look after a year or two to look at how the tax return, you know, in the overall trend. Sometimes we see, like, you know, in one of the examples, we see they constantly reporting the one behavior, and then in that year they had a very big different change. Then I want to know why, so that ultimately has, you know, higher risk in affecting the tax return overall. In terms of trend analysis, I do I look at year after year how the income change and how the expenses change. And then I also look at the ratios for each year. Like, for example, 1 year they have 40% of goods, cost of goods sold, and then that behavior constant until the year under audit, it becomes 60%, and ultimately we want to understand why. So I guess my experience, for every one of my audit, I try to do a trend analysis and try to do the analytical part, unless there is a very specific, you know, the audit is very specific.
Yeah, we use trend analysis, analytical analysis on most every cases, because that's the tool help us to select cases for audit and also narrow our audit scope. Because even though we only audit 1 year, but we have to look at multiple years. For instance, when we do the trend analysis, we put all the income, expenses, and net income or net loss. So on the Excel worksheet, we look at the trend. Okay, the loss is lost for 10 years, or maybe 7 years, or 15 years. Okay, that could be indicator non-for-profit business. So even though we only look at 1 year, but we do it for every cases. And also, we use that analysis to narrow our audit scope. So after we do the analysis, okay, that's the trend, that's they do business, that's the way, that's the norm of the business, and we do some more research, look at their returns, and look at the schedules, and say, okay, probably that's the way they do business, then probably we will not audit this issue anymore. We will not ask substantiation for this item anymore. Probably we're going to focus on this item because based on analysis, that's kind of some questionable transaction here. So we need to look at documentation for this particular item. But this one, yeah, look at based on our analysis, it's okay, it's reasonable. And based on our research, yeah, we're just okay. Our audit scope get narrowed down because we cannot audit every single item on the return. We have to focus on some items. So how we kind of focus, how we make that kind of determination, it's based on this analysis.
Okay. Thank you, Beth.
Any other questions? Okay, hearing none, would you like to bring forward a motion?
Sure. I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Shui Lu has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
And is there a second?
I will second.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
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 And those opposed? Wonderful, motion passes.
Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to Olga, who I believe is on the phone as well, and Ryan.
Yeah, so this is Ryan Kramer. I reviewed Olga's application. Olga is currently a controller of the University of Western States, and she's been there since 2010. Prior to that, she was at Providence Hotels in Portland, most recently as an accounting manager, and her supervisor at University of Western States is Lisa Lopez, who is a CPA and their chief business officer. And she supervised Olga for, I think, the last 7 or 8 years, her entire time at University of Western States. She's, as a controller, she's obviously in a controlling role with responsibility for accounting, but she also has a responsibility that passes into the finance world with responsibility for budget and some other financial and operational aspects of University of Western States. Overall, Olga did submit a revised narrative. I think overall her narrative was good, but it included a lot of behaviors in the initial draft and not necessarily a lot of examples about how she's demonstrating achieving the competencies. So I provided some feedback on numerous competencies, and her revised narrative, I think, touches a lot more detail on specific examples of how she has demonstrated her achievement of the experience of the competencies.
All right, any discussion?
I just want to say I'll abstain from discussion and vote. I worked with Olga and Lisa for several years, and the university was a client where I used to work.
This is Casey. I did have a comment. I just, as I was reading the narrative, I saw references to, you know, current and past positions and previous employment. So my only concern was just to make sure that the experience notated was specifically for University of Western States under the appropriate supervisor. Is that correct?
This is Olga. Yes, the experience in the narrative was the most recent experience, even though I had an experience before that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, comments? This is Rachel. The only question I had related to competency B and examples of performance measures and methods. Excuse me. Olga, would you mind providing or pointing out where in your narrative you discuss performance measures and methods with some specific examples?
Yes, let me just refresh myself on the competency B.
Yep, absolutely. And it is a fairly lengthy response, so it's if I'm overlooking something, it's help me find it in the discussion.
Yes, I'm doing that a lot on the basically the competency. Sorry, I am being involved in the budget and as it relates to the University of Western States, which is closely aligns here with the continuous improvement plans, and we analyze it on both operational perspectives and how it aligns with finances, budget, in terms of the previous trends and as they will go into the future. And actually, in the most recent development, I have been assigned some tasks as the clinic business administrator and had to perform a lot of this analysis on our clinics, as well as some performance indicators of the university overall, which we develop with the executive team and measure on from a year to year.
Okay. Great, thank you. Any other questions, comments, feedback? Brian, would you like to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to find that there's sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Olga Klotchkova has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing.
Okay. Is there a second?
This is Casey, I'll second.
Thank you, Casey. All of those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed? And anyone else besides Rebecca abstaining? All right, motion passes. Congratulations, Olga.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to jump over Kenneth, unless Kenneth has joined us on the phone. Okay, well, we'll just move on to the folks attending live and then come back to him in a little bit. Let's move on to Vikas, and I believe, Rebecca, you're covering the
yes.
application.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Vikas has worked at General Motors for about 5 years across two of their component companies, India and USA. Period of qualified supervision was January 16 to February 17 at General Motors USA. It's just a little unclear on the application how it prints, so I just wanted to point out that the period of supervision was for the second experience listed. And all of the experience in the narrative relates to that. Okay. Another point of clarification, the Vikas's qualified supervisor for the period is Mohammed Houch. The org chart in the package is a current org chart, which is what he's able to pull from GM's website. But we got a letter that's also in the packet just to confirm that all of the experience was directly under Mohammed Houch, and that's what the narrative relates to. So, just some logistics there. So, the narrative we are reviewing is the second or third iteration of Vikas's narrative. The first narrative was pretty bare bones, lacking in detail and really specific examples of the work that he did and how they related to the competencies. We discussed by phone and really in detailed email some suggested areas for improvements really across all the competencies. Vikas's job description and the length of his experience caused me to believe that he would have the experience to meet these competencies, but I think the current version of the narrative still doesn't clearly demonstrate that those competencies are really being met. So much of the narrative is written in high-level or kind of company-specific lingo, which is fine, but it's not really well explained, so it's hard for just an outside reader to connect the dots there. Competencies B and C are examples of that. It also references a lot of other people and the work that they do and the processes that they carry out, and it's really unclear what his role in this is. He's obviously knowledgeable about them, so I think that could stand to be clarified. Competency E is an example of that. And then a lot of the concepts and the competencies are repeated or stated that they've been completed. Like, I have a deep understanding of so-and-so, but it's not really proven out. It's not really a detailed explanation of how that's being met. So Vikas was really open to discussing it and making revisions, and he did add more detail in A, B, C, D, and E, but I feel like they're still a little mismatched with the competency being described, and although there is good detail of describing them, it's not really connecting the dots back, coming full circle to, you know, tie them into the competency. I think there are a couple of examples in competency D that addresses like a walkthrough and some work that was done outside of the supervision period. So, in summary, I think the narrative needs additional work, and I would love additional comments from the committee to further help explain this to Vikas if people are in agreement.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rebecca. Opening it up for discussion.
This is Michael Schmidt. I
I think you nailed it. I don't have any additional to add. I would just highly support what you walked through. I found it to be very high level and really struggled with understanding what they particularly did at a detail level to support the competencies.
Thank you. Any other feedback? Again, the more clarity we can provide Vikas in this process, the easier it might be in him making those revisions. So if there's any feedback that committee members have, I'm sure that would be useful to him.
Hey, this is Michael Smoot on the phone. I would echo that. I think a lot of time was spent more on what the company was doing and less of the meat of it being what DECO was actually doing. And I know with there's some examples of presentations and charts and stuff, but it didn't seem that there was a connection to what was actually being presented within those charts and what kind of analysis was done or provided to executive management. Okay. I think that kind of covers competency E and G.
Great, thank you. Other feedback? I have kind of a laundry list, and so I'll go through it because I do want to help help the individual with that in advance if possible. On competency B, I didn't see a discussion of economic and regulatory trends, and not enough background on the segment reporting discontinued ops projects to make it clear how those projects support your ability to identify critical success factors. On competency D, it would have been helpful to understand why those specific controls are important and why what they're trying to accomplish or prevent. I mentioned several times in the application of zero tolerance of misstatement, and that I don't think is very realistic in the real world. So, I would encourage the applicant to be very thoughtful in the language you use around misstatement and tolerance for misstatement, because zero tolerance for that does not, in my mind, make it clear that you understand what misstatement is and materiality and tolerance for risk. So that would be one thing I'd call out. Competency F, I'd love to see some examples of some technical accounting research. Maybe that's some evaluation of ASCs, something to demonstrate you can go to a regulatory source, a technical literature, something, dive in, understand it, apply it. Competency G, I wasn't sure who the leadership is, so please clarify what's their background, how did you tailor content to their areas of interest and expertise. And a big edit that I think is necessary and that would cause me to defer this in the next round is I believe the supervision discussion on page 29 is referring to the applicant's role as a supervisor, not the supervision of him by the CPA. I'm not sure if I'm reading that correctly, but that was my interpretation of it.
And that's how I read it also.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So that, while technically not a competency, is something that needs to be addressed in the provision. Hopefully that's helpful. Happy to provide more detail on those if needed.
That's great. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion, feedback? All right, hearing none. Rebecca, would you like to entertain a motion?
I would. I move to defer the application for Vikas Arora pending the additional documentation of all competencies A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
I can second that motion.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded to defer the applicant based on the all need to work on all competencies. All those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed? And any abstentions? All right. Thank you. Motion passes. All right, so let's move to our next applicant on the phone, and that is Sarah Damari, and I believe this is Jenny leading this discussion.
Yep. So this is Jenny Gruppe. I reviewed the application of Sarah Damari. She's currently employed at InComm Digital Solutions, which is a company that provides digital gift card delivery and management solutions. She has been at the company for 21 months as an accounting manager and reports to the business unit controller, who is the signing supervisor. Upon initial review of the write-up, I spoke to Sarah and provided her with comments and feedback, particularly in the areas of competency B and competency C. She made revisions to her narrative, taking into account the comments and feedback provided, which is what was present in the application submitted to the committee. And then I believe her narrative shows a relevant and sufficient experience to meet each core competency. Are there any discussions or comments? Questions?
This is Michael Schmidt. On competency A, to start there, I found the write-up to be very generic. I didn't see much about what specifically she does to showcase her professional care, professional skepticism. She noted, like, this is what I do from a process standpoint, but I couldn't really gather any particular items that would really help me support that.
This is Ryan Kramer. I had the same comment in competency A. You just need more, less like living the employee handbook and more how do I demonstrate that in my daily job.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Competency D was weak for me. Rebecca, by the way. I think there is an example here about the returned mail process and kind of get into detail on that. I wasn't really seeing how that tied back to an accounting system or if that was intended to be an accounting system and how that affects revenues and expenses. So it's a system and explained and there are controls, but kind of was looking for more bigger picture on how this ties to like financial reporting of the company. Do you want to speak to that, Sarah?
Sure. So one of the tasks that I was when I first came to IDS, I was tasked with. We had a very weak system of internal controls around return mail, and anyway, I had to take a look at the current process, and you know, through inquiry and observation and inspection, to try to understand, you know, where there was weaknesses in the process. And I was able to strengthen the process after creating flowcharts and narratives and identifying different, you know, control weaknesses, which ended up, you know, basically safeguarding our assets. And you know, at the time that I came to the company, the return mail was something that was, it was sort of immaterial, but as we got greater clients with more voluminous return mail, the materiality of that changed, and so it was definitely something that I needed to put in place in order to safeguard the company from risk of misstatement. So I'm trying to look.
And I might clarify, so how does the return mail process affect the financials? And this might speak to competency B a little bit, where I didn't get a great understanding of what the company did in the first place, so,
yeah, so
that might come into it.
The return mail is considered part of our inventory on hand. When we get the return mail, we get gift cards back in return mail, and you know those need to be you know collected and counted in double custody. We need to have a safe on site in order to, you know, protect the inventory, because it's so, being that they're gift cards, they are, you know, it's like cash. So anyhow, we need to be able to safeguard those assets, and we perform a count of return mail every day, as well as monthly, so that we can properly state our inventory balance on the financial statement.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Sarah? Comments on your review of her application? All right, hearing none. Ginny, would you like to make a motion?
But after further discussion, I'm feeling that maybe competency A needs a little more detailed information, and just from the comments received. So I move to defer the application for Sarah Demiri pending additional documentation of competency A.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Casey, I'll second.
All right, so there is a motion to defer the application for Sarah Demiri pending additional documentation on competency A. All of those in favor, say aye.
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 And those opposed?
Aye.
And name for the record?
Michael Schmidt.
Okay, thank you, Michael. And any abstentions? All right, motion passes. Thank you, Jenny. And did Kenneth happen to join us while we've been discussing other applicants? Okay, well, Michael, would you like to lead us in the discussion of Kenneth's application?
Perfect, sounds great. And I'm at the airport, so hopefully there's no background noise while I'm going through this. But so I reviewed Kenneth's application. He had multiple work experiences that he had referenced. However, the only one that he references as gaining the qualifications were with Simple Finance, where he was directly supervised by Tim Hildebrandt. I had worked with Simple back when they were a client before getting purchased, so I had worked with him. He's their director of finance. He has both public accounting experience at the Big Four, as well as private industry. Kenneth currently works at Open Sesame. He does not use any examples from his current employment under Deborah. However, he does reference that he is being supervised by her in the same manner that she has been under Tim. At Simple, he worked and gained his experience as an accountant one and accountant two, directly under the director of finance. As far as the application goes, I found that, you know, I felt that there was a lot of effort put into the application, sufficient experience, and linking examples to the specific competencies. For example, competency A, multiple examples of demonstrating integrity, objectivity, professional judgment, due professional care, and professional skepticism. Competency B, you know, I think throughout the application he demonstrated business understanding. It wasn't limited just to the narrated under B. He also demonstrated an understanding and interpretation of trends that affect the business and the industry, and demonstrated that he was effectively able to communicate those to senior management. Competency C, the specific examples provided documenting that he had provided documentation for review that was clear, concise, and in a manner that was easily reviewable by his supervisor. Specifically listed an example where they found that the controls did not catch a material misstatement, and he worked to implement additional steps in the process of the reconciliation to ensure that it didn't happen again. Competency D, demonstrated an understanding of the business needs for the company, and working to implement best practices with respect to system use to ensure accurate recording of transactions in appropriate periods. Competency E, specific example related to validating internal data against external third-party source data to ensure completeness and accuracy of the population that he's utilizing. Competency F, examples of analyzing data transactions, using problem solving to interpret that, and then ultimately report out. And then finally, in competency G, speaks to a specific example of presenting complicated accounting information to employees throughout the organization, non-accountants as well, from top to bottom of the industry, to help explain how the accounting ultimately affects various departments. I would open it up to any additional discussion from the committee members at this time.
This is Casey. I did have concerns about competency E because I felt like the narrative itself was much more about, okay, we've already identified an issue or there's this issue with inventory and I'm going to look into it, versus an actual risk assessment where you're taking a top-down approach and looking at the financial statements and identifying what risks might possibly exist and then addressing those. So I did have concerns with that competency.
Thank you, Casey. Any other feedback on competency E in particular? This is Rachel. I did have some concerns about or would appreciate some clarity around identifying what is the risk, what is the impact on the financial statements, and what he did to address it. And another example would be helpful with that clear linkage throughout. And Michael, the only other question I would ask you is, it sounds like you've worked with Tim in the past. I just want to be clear that you still felt as you were going through this review that you could remain independent and this would not be something you would need to abstain from voting on.
No, I appreciate you asking that. So I have never worked directly with Kenneth, and he was hired subsequent to me ever working with there.
Okay.
So my only professional relationship was with the supervisor,
okay,
and not the applicant themselves.
Okay, thank you. And for the record, this is Rachel Quinn. I also have worked with the supervising CPA, Tim Hildebrandt, but feel that I can remain independent, objective, and will be voting today. So, all right, any other questions or comments or feedback from the committee members?
This is Ryan Kramer. I did think that on competency B, there were some examples, but there was a little bit of, oh, it's important for me to understand the business or understand regulations that the company has to comply with. But I expected to read a little bit more about how he goes about understanding the business and particularly the strict financial regulations that he calls out, like how if that's outside the normal knowledge that is that an accountant or a CPA would have. How does he go about making sure that he fully understands those regulations and not just listing, oh, I'm aware of Dodd-Frank or a particular provision? So while he has some examples, I kind of expected more there.
Any other comments on competency B? Yeah, no, I thought it, another example about a critical success factor would have been helpful in that one, particularly.
In B,
yes. All right, any other competencies or questions, feedback? All right, Mike, would you like to entertain a motion?
I would. So I have written down B and E, and I just want to make sure I didn't miss one from Rachel, what competency specifically was being referred to in her comment.
Yeah, no, mine was competency B, as was Ryan's, so.
B, perfect. Therefore, I would move to defer the application for Kenneth pending additional documentation for competency B and E.
Thank you. And is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? And any abstention? Thank you. All right, so we are deferring Kenneth for competencies B and E, and that wraps up all of our current applications. We do have a list of about four deferred applications, and for deferred applications, it can be a little bit difficult to remember now why were they deferred and what were the committee's concerns. So
I didn't do that, and I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. And so I would ask for the committee member bringing forward the application, if you could just start off with, as a reminder, here's a summary of what the competencies were that were deferred and what the committee's concerns were. That might help us get grounded here. So I know Flora is on the line. Are there any other deferred applicants that have called in? Brian, Vladimir, Christie? All right, well, that just makes a start at the top of the list here from the agenda. Casey, would you like to discuss Flora's application?
Sounds wonderful. So this is Casey Camworth, and I reviewed Ms. Wilfred's application. This application was deferred last meeting for all competencies. I'm happy to go into more detail if anyone would like it on those competencies.
Now, Flora, was this the application that like only half of the pages came through?
Yes, that's kind of why I feel like I don't necessarily believe that everyone had the opportunity to read it fully. So I don't know that going through the competencies line by line would be beneficial.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. What are your current thoughts, Casey?
Okay. So Ms. Wilfred is a manager in the internal audit department at Brookfield Asset Management and primarily focuses on internal audit, management assurance, SOX compliance, and audit committee reporting in the real estate area. She's worked under the direct supervision of Mr. I hopefully don't mess up his name, Johansson, since 2014. He's the director of risk and control, and the two have daily interactions. As you can see from her application, Ms. Wilfred has performed SOX audit engagement planning, management and execution, testing over proxy voting, review of management disclosures, among others. And we've had quite a few back and forth discussions about the application, and we've had conversations involving the supervisor as well. And at this point, even though I don't feel like there are a huge number of examples that are provided, the ones that are provided, I feel like Ms. Wilfred gives a very deep dive on those, and I do believe that she has obtained the competencies with her company. So I am prepared to, you know, put a recommendation forward to approve the application, and I'll open it up for discussion.
Wonderful. Thank you, Casey.
Yeah, I think same. Not a ton of examples, but I think Ms. Wilfred does exactly what we're always asking applicants to do, really dive deep, explain in detail, and then tie that back to the competency. And not just because it was long. I know there's no length requirement, but I could tell that she really had the experience and put the thought into this. So I'm comfortable with all competencies.
Thank you, Rebecca. Any other feedback from committee members? So what? My only question is, I wasn't clear, because I think traditionally we try to use a formatting convention where the first application is just all in normal font, and then the revised narrative is bold, and then the post-deferred narrative is bold and underlined. So I'm not sure, Casey, in this case, I'm assuming that you did provide suggestions that were made in this application, correct?
Yes, okay. And we had the initial draft I received was not in our form, in our template, and so we went back and forth, and as the deadline approached, I said, you know, we really need to go through, or you need to go through and do a track changes so we can see these, so I'll defer to Flora to say why that didn't necessarily happen.
Okay.
Thanks, Casey. So I checked with Julie. So what happened, my first draft, which was sent to the committee, because it was all one-sided, it technically like wasn't the first draft, so then we thought that this should be the first one. That's why there were no track changes in this version.
Okay, thank you. It's just sometimes it's helpful to get grounded in what was, how much of the application was revised as a result of feedback from the reviewer. So in this case, I understand the challenges from the single siding and changing it to our format. So that fact pattern and background would not impact my ability or willingness to vote on this, but I was just helpful. I thought it would be helpful for background purposes. Any other questions or comments from committee members? All right, Casey, would you like to bring forward a vote?
Yes, please. I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Bora Wilfred has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Thank you. And is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you, Rebecca. All those in favor of all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 And those opposed? And any deferrals? Great. Thank you, Casey, and congratulations, Laura.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is Brian Bortlett, and I believe Michael is discussing that application. Michael Schmidt?
Yeah, Brian was deferred at our last qualifications committee meeting for competencies B, D, E, and F. The committee found on competency B he was using passive language. Competencies E really focused on a high-level discussion of a risk assessment, as well as with F, the lack of conclusion and the impact on financial reporting competencies. So Brian has submitted his revised application for those particular competencies that we had questions on. With competencies B, he really focused on trying to tie together the analytics, the KPIs that he's looking at on overall managing and assessing how the overall operations of the business are meeting those metrics. On competencies D, he actually went through a full rewrite of the competencies, really focusing on from a systems standpoint, where does he understand the flow of the transactions and the pitfalls from a system standpoint. Competency E was also a rewrite. This is an area where he's trying to assess, you know, where he's performing a risk assessment. I personally still struggle with the overall substantiveness of the risk assessment. It doesn't seem to go into much real detail from a top-down approach that I can equate where he's really performed this competencies. And then the competencies F to wrap it up. This is where he's concluded and adding those discussion points where he's providing his conclusions to management. So with that, I will pause and leave it up for discussion.
So Michael, to clarify, it sounds like, do you still have concerns about competency E, or do you feel like it's adequate, or are you seeking committee feedback on that particularly?
I still have concerns, but wanted to solicit what other people's thoughts were.
Okay. Thank you. And feedback from the committee.
I'll just leave it up for a question. So for particularly competency E in this aspects, are there committee members that see that the candidate has demonstrated the requirements as the documentation exists?
Michael, this is Rachel. I am also a little bit on the fence on this one. and it would have actually been really helpful to have Brian here in, to be able to participate and walk through why he feels this is appropriate and adequate. Other feedback?
I do think he's calling things risk assessment that feel more like testing. Mm-hmm. So it would have been good to get his explanation on that. So I would support additional, you know, these all start at the testing point, additional explanation of his experience on before testing, how he decides what to test, what needs to be tested. Mm-hmm.
This is Casey. I would also agree.
Okay, it sounds like there is still some remaining concerns about competency E. Any other feedback on B, D, or F from committee members?
For me, for competency B, you know, I kind of read this as trying to get a sense of the company and what it does and how the applicant's work ties into the company's goals. So when I see the lack of description about what the company does, that's just a slight step back from meeting the competency for me.
Mm-hmm. And you don't feel like that was adequately covered in the introduction section? Because that's the other place. So you're right. Those are the two. The introduction and then competency is where I try to piece together the background.
Right. And the reason I like it in competency B specifically is just mm-hmm. I feel like it asks for it mm-hmm. and really tying the connection. I think a lot of times it's pretty easy to note to explain what you do every day and the goals that you're meeting. But even the introduction doesn't often address the company's goals. Mm-hmm. What is it really trying to achieve in the world and the mm-hmm. industry and all of that? Mm-hmm. So for me, I would like a little more explanation and connecting the dots in competency B.
On that application, this is Casey. I also had initially, and maybe I missed it, could you please repeat what competencies did we defer it on?
Yeah, this is Michael Schmidt. It was B, D, E, and F.
Okay, so on F, sorry, go ahead, Michael.
No, just going no, and that's just reflected through the bold in his applicants and his application.
Okay, so when I look at competency F, one of my comments was that I don't. It doesn't show the conduct and conclusion on technical research and impact on financial reports, and I do think that the additional verbiage adds something for impact on financial reports. But I'm still not totally getting the technical research side of that narrative. I don't know if that's a real significant issue. It might be me just being a little pedantic, but to me, that's another element that could be improved.
Okay. Thank you. Any other concerns about competency F that people would like to mention? All right, Michael. Would you like to bring forward a motion? It sounds like we have some committee members that are concerned with competencies B and F, but whether you feel like those are appropriate or not, I'll let you consider in your motion. And then it does sound like we have more wider spread concerns about competency E.
Yeah, so I'll move to defer the application for Brian Borbett pending additional documentation of competencies B, E, and F.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Casey. I'll second.
Thank you, Casey. All those in favor, say aye.
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 And those opposed? And any abstentions? Okay, thank you. We have deferred Brian again for competencies B as in boy, E as in elephant, and F as in Frank. Michael, do you feel like you were able to collect enough information between this dialogue and then obviously what Julie's tracking in her meeting summaries to be able to go back to Brian on edits?
This is Michael, yes.
Okay, great. All right, that brings us to our next deferred applicant, and that is Vladimir Mukin. And Rebecca, would you like to lead that discussion?
Yes. Vladimir is a deferred applicant, as Rachel said. His application and narrative were originally discussed at the January committee meeting. I was unable to attend, but listened to the minutes and realized my very lengthy email was read at the meeting. Sorry, everyone. but there wasn't a lot of additional discussion after that email. So I think folks were pretty well on board that all competencies were pretty just light. They weren't really meeting, weren't well describing how his individual experience was, you know, tying back to those competencies. A lot of the things like some passive language, some examples, but really not deep dive. So Vladimir was present at that meeting by phone. We also followed up with an email from the committee's findings, but Vladimir did not submit another revised narrative after that meeting. So the narrative we're looking at now is the same one that was reviewed before. Mm. We simply haven't heard from him. Mm. So I don't know if anyone else has anything to say about that. Mm. I think with no additional information, revisions, or effort by the applicant, that I would move to not defer again and find insufficient evidence. So, any discussion on that?
This is Casey. I would agree. If we don't have an applicant who is responsive, especially on a deferment, then I don't think it's appropriate to defer. I think it's appropriate to deny.
Any other discussion by the committee?
This is Michael Smith. I agree with what Casey's saying. I did just have a quick question. Is there an amount of times you can defer an application? I wasn't sure if there was like a limit to that, or if you can, you know, if they were to demonstrate that they're obviously trying, then, you know, continuing to defer them.
That's a great question. I'll just look to the staff and see if they have guidance on that.
Are you asking, this is Kimberly, are you asking more about the one, the Vladimir, or the one we just voted to defer again on Brian? Because
I guess it would kind of incorporate both.
Yeah.
Just the question just came to mind just now.
Yeah,
I'm just curious if there's any limitation on that.
There's no written documentation on how long we can defer someone. I think it's up to the committee to decide if they think that there is more there that they could pull out to get to that license. I think in Vladimir's case that simply not responding shows that he's not making an effort, and I think that the recommendation, you know, if that goes that way, to deny is appropriate. With Brian, having a second deferral to help him out, if you all think that he can get somewhere with that second deferral, then I think that's appropriate. But, you know, there's only so much hand-holding and telling them, here's what we need for, you know, third, fourth time. You know, that's going to be up to you to decide when enough is enough, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I've heard this application process described a bit as a test within a test on applicants' abilities to be responsive and understand and respond to feedback and work through processes and deadlines. And, you know, a failure to respond does indicate that you can't pass the test within the test. So I would agree that a finding of insufficient evidence would be appropriate in this case.
So I'm just curious, this is Ryan Kramer, what's the process after that last meeting for reaching out to Vladimir? He was on the phone, obviously, but what is the communication that he would have received?
So, yes, so we follow up, I follow up Rebecca also followed up. So she reached out to him by email. I gave him a summary of what was said at the meeting, even though he was on the phone, but just said, you know, want to summarize, give it to you in writing, kind of reach out and offer any assistance.
Okay. Was there any acknowledgement? Or just...
There was no response.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In this case. So.
And the recordings are available online.
Yes.
So you
mm-hmm.
could have...
Yes. Yes, and that yeah, and that's also stated in our email too. Like the recording's been posted. Here's a summary of your portion of the meeting, and you know Rebecca's still available for any interaction that you need, and the timeline for the next meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, short of him changing his email, I don't feel it's a situation where he wasn't getting the information from us that he needed.
And even if his email changed, he knew how to reach us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's just been silence.
So what is the, how does it roll out? So if we did move that there was insufficient evidence, what would be kind of the next steps and the applicant's ability to resubmit? How does that work from?
So if you vote to find that there's insufficient evidence to, you know, to go forward, that will go to the board. The board will accept your recommendation, and then the applicant has two options. They can withdraw their application, or they can request a hearing if they don't think they should be denied. Generally speaking, they withdraw their application, and when they're ready and they're, you know, ready to go through the process, they can reapply. It's not a black mark on them at all. You know, it just says withdrew app if that's what they do. If denied, then we go through this whole administrative hearing piece where we have to prove that, you know, they didn't meet the qualifications for a license. So.
If he doesn't withdraw his application, does he sort of live in this limbo for
is it
withdrawn on his behalf?
Yeah.
Kind of thing? Okay.
Mm. Question.
And other than, you know, I mean, other than the fact that the time difference, mm-hmm. he would pay a new application fee. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference in, I mean, we would retain his records. We would still, I think you've seen applications recently where we brought out, you know, several year old narratives and you know, anything within the 8-year window, and mm-hmm. you can combine that experience with, you know, new experience, so.
Okay. Any other questions, comments on either Vladimir or the process? Of how this would roll out, should he be denied. All right, Rebecca, do you want to?
Sure. So I moved to find there is insufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Vladimir Mukin has met the minimum qualifications for initial licensing for OAR 801-010-0065.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Casey. I'll second.
Thank you, Casey. All of those in favor?
Aye.
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 And opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Motion passes. Christy Moore's application actually it's kind of timely that we just had a similar discussion about a motion for insufficient evidence. I'm going to read the email that I received from Megan about Christy's application. So Ms. Moore, who is the applicant, initially applied for her license in time to meet the January 2018 QC meeting. She was provided comments that were a combination of both Zane Selbach's review and Megan Kurtz's. Due to an extreme family situation, Ms. Moore was unable to incorporate comments from the QC's review, and her application was deferred on all competencies at the January meeting. Julie followed up with Ms. Moore following the January meeting to notify her of the application's deferral and the next steps and options. And then Megan reached out to Ms. Moore a few weeks ago to inquire about the status of her write-up and application, to which she responded that there had been insufficient time to work on her application, that she had no impending deadlines requiring her to get her license, and that overall there was not much urgency with finalizing her licensure at this time. Julie then followed up with Ms. Moore to inform her that she could voluntarily withdraw her application or that it would be on the agenda for today's meeting and subject to additional deferral or denial, and we did not receive any further correspondence from Ms. Moore. The applicant has had approximately 12 weeks of active time to work through her application with reviewers, both the 6 weeks leading up to the January meeting and the 6 weeks leading up to the April meeting, which appears to be a sufficient amount of time to connect with the board staff or myself, being Megan, learn and ask questions about the process, and develop and communicate a plan for revising the package. And so therefore, based on the chain of events, Megan would bring forth another motion to move that there's insufficient evidence. But before I go ahead and make that motion on Megan's behalf, I would just open it up for any questions, comments, or feedback.
So just to confirm, this is the same narrative.
Exactly the same narrative, yes. With the fact pattern from Vladimir's being a little bit different in that she did respond to emails from Megan and Julie. But again, no revisions or changes to her application.
This is Michael Schmidt. I had a procedural question, but I can say that until after we're done with this applicant.
Any other feedback on Christie's application or the process related to her potential denial?
This is Ryan Kramer. Do we think that her comment saying that there's no, you know, impending reason why she needs a CPA is her pretty much withdrawing? Or should we reach out to her and say, we've deferred pending, you know, confirmation from you as to how you want to proceed with this, and would like, you know, positive confirmation that you'd like to withdraw and we deny versus...
We did reach out to her. We offered her the opportunity to withdraw until she had time to, you know, make revisions and, you know, and understandably she's busy. Until you have time and energy to devote, you could withdraw your application, apply later. There was no response to that. So she was given that opportunity. Perfect.
But she would have to formally say, yes,
yes,
I want to withdraw.
Yes, she would need to,
okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions, comments about Ms. Moore's application? All right, hearing none, I will make a motion on behalf of Megan Kurz. I move that there is insufficient evidence to demonstrate that Christy Moore has achieved competencies in the 7 core areas necessary for initial licensing under OAR 801-010-0065.
I'll second.
Thank you, Rebecca. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 And those opposed? And any abstentions? All right, the motion has been has passed. And procedural question.
Yeah, so Michael Schmidt, I was wondering, is it possible when we have these types of situations to flag whether the applicant has been updated or not? It's just me from a review standpoint. I don't want to focus my time on applicants that haven't been updated. So I just wanted to put that on the for a committee discussion.
Yes, I am so sorry. I don't even know that you need to discuss it. That was my fault. This is Julie.
So what?
Oh, no problem then.
I normally would have flagged that for you. I just...
Okay. And you would have said, this is the same one.
Yeah. For a couple of them. Yeah. I really should have. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we do have in the instructions, pretty early on, it is kind of a request that you bold, then you bold and underline. Mm-hmm. But I do know that applicants are fairly inconsistent in actually doing that. So maybe that would be a good reminder for all of those committee members of, like, please reinforce to your applicants that this is really helpful.
And we'll do that all on our end as well.
Yeah. I was reminding myself to specifically communicate that and have had better results and am doing that.
Great. All right. Any other procedural questions? Excellent. Well, that brings us to new business. And Kimberly, I know we have Megan here in person, which we're excited to have her join us for the first qualifications committee meeting. But would you like to?
So yes. So Megan began just Monday, so she's very, very, very new, and she's getting to experience this committee, which is good. I think it gives her a big picture perspective, which is nice. Julie and I will be conducting second interviews for the second vacant position. Do you all know that Julie was promoted, first of all? Okay, so Julie was promoted to the licensing
program. Congratulations.
Sorry. I should have started off with that because that's super exciting, too. So Julie was promoted, so she's now the licensing manager, which was my old job. And so she will be overseeing Megan as well as whoever we hire shortly as the second office licensing specialist. So we're interviewing for that tomorrow. We're down to four people, and so hopefully we can make a choice, and we are anticipating having them begin real early May, because we're gearing up, of course, for the busy time for licensing, which is renewals, and everything else that goes along with renewals. So so that's really exciting. So fingers crossed.
Right.
Then we would actually have a full staff for the first time since October 1st, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's
a big deal.
Julie has really bared the weight of having all that licensing on her shoulders for months, you know, so...
And that's my excuse for forgetting to tell you that I didn't submit anything. No,
she's doing it. Okay, I'll let you know.
Sorry. I just forgot.
Yeah. No, she's Brendan and I.
I'll be better. I'll be better.
You are great. Yes. So thank you for your work.
So, that's all I got for updates.
That's great. Well, good luck with the last rounds of interviews.
I feel confident. I think we'll do well.
It's good to go into the last round with four choices, right?
Excellent. Well, so the only other thing that I would solicit from those of you that are completing a reviewer independently on your own for the first time, I would love feedback on how we did preparing you for that work, how the buddy system assisted, didn't assist, how the materials around expectations and process helped or didn't help your onboarding, again, because I feel like, you know, this is always something that we can do better. So I would love feedback either live right now, or if you'd rather have that discussion be a more direct conversation or an email, offline is totally fine as well. So wonderful. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for participating in the call or being here in person. I believe lunch is going to be here, if it's not here right now, any minute, right?
Yes.
For those of you on the phone, you are missing lunch, so maybe that'll be a little bit of incentive to make it here live and in person next time. So thank you all for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you in a few months.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.